Do you feel more warmly towards A, Brussels sprouts, or B, white people? Coming up on the Anti-Woke Podcast. The 538 Podcast was talking about that recent poll where they asked people if they agree or disagree with the statement, it's okay to be white. And I believe the general poll results were something like low 70s said, yeah, it's okay to be white. Low 20s said they weren't sure, and then 8% of Americans said they disagree that it's okay to be white. And then in the crosstabs, black Americans, low 50% said, yeah, it's okay to be white. Low 20% said they weren't sure, and low 20% said they disagree that it's okay to be white. And Scott Adams, the creator of Dilbert, got canceled from all the newspapers in the nation because he discussed that thing in his podcast the other day. But the 538 guys, they were like, is this a good poll? And obviously, even if it was a good poll, they couldn't say that it was a good poll, but it wasn't that good a poll. It wasn't good enough to say that it was good, especially when you just saw someone lose millions of dollars over it and you're also trying to make money in the media. But they said some interesting things. It's okay to be white. It's kind of a, I don't know if it's a hashtag. It's a phrase that was created on the internet maybe in 2017. And most of them were unaware of that. Because some people are trying to put out the idea, you know, why is 25% of blacks saying they disagree that it's okay to be white? Well, maybe they know that this is a phrase that was invented in 2017 on 4chan and therefore they're against it. Kind of like all lives matter as the response to Black Lives Matter. Kind of a trolling. But I believe three out of the four of the people on the 538 podcast were unaware that this was a phrase that had been going around the internet. And they're all super internet, you know, literate people. So I don't think, you know, maybe 1 in 100 Americans changed their answer to the poll because they're like, oh, there's that phrase from 4chan, or I heard that phrase before, or whatever. And then the more woke lady on 538, she's like, oh, that's a white nationalist thing. And I feel like you're not hearing the term white supremacy as much, but you're hearing white nationalist more. So, I don't know. Times are changing, I guess. You got to keep up with what the teens are saying or something. And it's same idea, you know. Not too long ago, white nationalist meant someone who wanted to create a white country, and they were willing to use force to get all the non-whites out of the country. But now, white nationalist, that's just someone who's white that you don't like, and you'd like them to shut the hell up because you can't take on their normal, you know, you can't deal with their argument as it is. You'd like them to just shut up, sit down, hopefully lose their job. And I think she said, someone on the pod said something like, the white nationalists on 4chan. Which, I mean, I guess if you're a white nationalist, first off, how many real white nationalists are there in America? I bet it's like 100 or something, maybe 1,000. I don't know. You know, it's 1 in 1,000,000 or maybe 1 in 100,000. Very rare. I mean, I'm sure there's more black nationalists, even though there's a hell of a lot less black people in America. But there's probably more white nationalists than there are Asian nationalists. You get the idea. I think basically thinking that you want to make your country look like you using force, that's a sign of social dysfunction. So pick a group, measure their social dysfunction. It's probably how much, you know, racial nationalism you'll find in that group. But I just think 4chan, to my understanding, it's not a bunch of racists. It's a bunch of people saying racist stuff to try and top the other person. Basically, they're just trolling. But, you know, now, whatever, you know, a joke. A joke is the truth. If you say a joke, let's see. White people love mayonnaise sandwiches. Am I right? I mean, is that true? Are you saying literally white people, all of them, every single one of them, love mayonnaise sandwiches? No, it's just a joke. Jokes are not to be taken literally. But what you do is you take, if someone said a joke and you don't like that person, and if you take that joke literally, you can possibly get them canceled, then that's when you know, jokes should be taken literally. And so that's how 4chan is. If you take all their jokes literally, you'll get some pretty crazy, whatever. You'll be like, wow, those people are worse than Hitler. I mean, I'm sure there's people on there who are like, I am worse than Hitler. And you're like, I told you they were worse than Hitler. That guy just said it. But at 538, they decided it wasn't a very good poll. It wasn't a great way to get at a question. I don't know. So one of the people is not woke. The guy who owns 538 is not woke, although he knows when to keep his mouth shut, Nate Silver. And, you know, he said, you know, maybe you could have a legitimate poll that looks into anti-white racism. I mean, he didn't dwell on that question, but he in passing, he said that. But he did mention there's kind of no good polling on the question, you know, exactly who and how much is racist in America. And it's a shame, you know, like, you can go on the internet, like, you know, what percentage of Republicans are racist? You would think there'd be hundreds of polls and papers and peer review and blah, blah. But in fact, there's none on the internet. And I mean, I know the answer why. It's because whatever the percentage of Republicans that are racist, it's too small. It's too small for all the left-wing academic professors. Some of them probably started doing some research and some polling, and they were getting back, you know, we'll make up a number. Oh, 3% of Republicans are racist and 5% of Democrats are racist. And then they just said, okay, stop this poll, stop this research, we're not publishing this shit. And so if you know the political leanings of the people who do the research and there's total silence on a subject, then that gives you the answer also. Or at least it gives me the answer. If you're a woke person, you're like, that doesn't prove anything. But Nate mentions, you know, one way they try and get at it, and I've seen these polls, but they'll ask you a question like, you know, Irish and Italians were discriminated against, but through perseverance and hard work, they overcame the discrimination and became successful Americans. Do you think that Black Americans should do the same thing? And so if you answer that yes, you think Black Americans should work hard and get ahead, just like the Irish and the Italians did, then they say you're racist. And so if you do that kind of polling, you will find Republicans are, I mean, I think a lot of Black people think that Black people should work hard and get ahead. But anyways, you ignore that part, and you do get a higher number of Republicans saying, yeah, people should work hard to get ahead. And then the academic person will designate anyone who answers the question that way as a racist. And then you get some pretty high numbers. And I don't know if the academics realize what they're doing. I think they don't. But that's not a question that gets at whether or not someone's racist. That's a political question. Like, you know, do you agree with this left-wing worldview is what that's asking, you know. People on the left believe that because of slavery and Jim Crow and whatever, systemic institutions of structural horseshit, that Black people can't get ahead. If they work hard, they're gonna fail. I mean, you know, this is, they don't realize that's a very destructive thing to tell the, you know, hey, Black kid, give up now, you're fucked. And then the Black kid doesn't do well, and they're like, I told you so. I mean, they don't say that to the kid, they say that to whatever. They go on the media and say that. But anyways, they wrap it up in politics. They're like, I'm gonna show how many people are racist, and then they ask political questions, and then they deem people who answer from a different political standpoint as the racist. So that's pretty much all you got. And I guess, you know, someone did the poll. Someone was like, maybe I'll write a paper about this. They're like, hey, if I ask it this way and then I designate people based on their answers this way, I can get the higher number that I wanted. And then they publish those papers all day long. You could imagine a poll with Black Lives Matter, agree or disagree. And then a bunch of Republicans probably would disagree to that. And then they'd be like, aha, we gotcha. And in the same poll, you might have a question like, the lives of Black people are incredibly important. And then all the Republicans would answer, agree. And the pollster would be like, I see you racists trying to get tricky on us. We're going to take that question out of the survey. I was wrong. There is a good survey that checks racial feelings between races in America. It's done, it's the American National Election Survey. Apparently they've been doing it for years. Super duper reputable. 538 thinks it's top notch. And Americans' feelings between racial groups is generally positive. If you look over time, the only real big change that's happened is the way people feel about whites has been going down, down, down. You might have heard about that from someone somewhere. But, you know, they don't say, like, are you racist or something. The way they do it, and because they ask questions about everything. Race, yes, but everything. Maybe, you know, Brussels sprouts, ice cream. And the respondents, they give a number from 0 to 100. So do you feel cold towards whatever the thing is, or do you feel warmly towards the thing? You know, so 100 is like you have warm feelings towards ice cream, and 0 would mean that you have cold feelings towards Brussels sprouts. And then I guess if you give a 50 or something, that's neutral. So then I'll give you some stats here. The way they break it down is whether or not you gave over a 50 or under a 50. And then, you know, what percentage of respondents were more in the warm or more in the cold. So they got one section, which is just asking whites and blacks. And whites generally feel much more warmly towards all the races than blacks. I mean, well, blacks like blacks. And then whites, as I've said before, are not so sure about whites. But then they break it down by age also, and it's interesting. The most, I don't know, loving group of all of it is old black people. They love everyone. And the most cold group is young black people towards whites. And it's interesting. Like, America now is the least racist country on the planet. It's tied for three-way tie with UK and Canada. But basically, the younger black respondents get, the more they feel cold towards Hispanics, and especially Asians and whites. They're pretty good on the Hispanics. They are not fond of Asians and least fond of whites. And, you know, like, the most extreme category is, I think, 18 to 28-year-old blacks. 40% of them feel cold towards whites. 10% are neutral, and 50% are warm. Which, you know, you can't, they're asking a different question, but you know, the Scott Adams thing where he said that, you know, low 20% of blacks say it's not okay to be white, or they disagree that it's okay to be white. I don't know. This survey is not contradicting it. That is a very possible answer between these two things. They're pretty similar. And this survey, they also asked people, like, they break them down by politics also. And so I guess they were hoping. So anyways, they broke down whites into Trump supporting whites. And unfortunately, in this survey, Trump supporting whites they also like all races. I guess the difference between Trump supporting whites and other groups is Trump supporting whites also like whites. They like every other race and whites. Damn racists. And one of the things that Scott Adams said that I disagree with is he's like, I helped black people my whole life. I'm done. I'm not going to do it anymore. It's not worth trying or something. And so I don't agree with that. But if you look at this survey where the younger black people are, the more they, I want to say, just hate white people. Whatever we're doing ain't working. So that doesn't mean that we should throw up our hands and walk away. But, you know, all this woke stuff apparently is counterproductive. Actually, that's not right. This has been going on longer because, you know, the group that dislikes whites the second most is, whatever, the ones that are basically black people in their 30s. And then the one after that is the ones in their 40s, etc. So whatever we've been doing for about the past 50, 60 years, since the civil, you know, basically it coincides perfectly with the civil rights movement. Ever since the civil rights movement, black people are getting less and less fond of whites. I mean, I don't think that means we should go back to segregation or something, but food for thought. And then they have another thing where they just ask all different kinds of people. Well, no, they ask Democrats, Independents, and Republicans various questions. And the thing that the group that hates the thing the most is Democrats feel the most cold towards Donald Trump. You know, that's like my woke buddy. I'm like, you hate Donald Trump and Trump supporters. And he's like, I don't hate anybody. And I'm like, you know, hatred is full up to your eyeballs and bleeding out of them like a gusher. Actually, I don't say that. That was a lame way of putting it. I got a better way of putting it that I can't remember right now. You know, seeing red. And, you know, the way that you, one way to make yourself feel like you're a good person is you find an enemy and you hate them. You're like, they're so bad that, you know, my hatred makes me good. And I think, whatever, people on the left would be getting quite high on their supply. And, you know, they're like, holy shit, I am the best person that has ever existed because I hate Trump supporters the most that anyone has ever hated anyone. And I guess you won't see people going towards, you know, this American National Election Survey thing too much, because you might find out you're not the good person you thought you were. You're like, I hate them because they're all racist. And they better be racist, because if they're not racist, then I'm hating them unjustifiably. And then that means I may not be the good person that I thought I was. The New York Times had a couple open letters shot around over the transgender issue, I think this past month. I think they published an article that just wasn't like, rah, 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 get all your kids, you know, maximum gender-affirming medical care. I mean, I didn't read it. I can't imagine it was very critical. I think maybe they interviewed some parents who were like, I'm not so sure about this. I'm kind of afraid of what I should do for my child and how it's going to affect them, you know, in the coming years. And I've been thinking, like, is this the camel's nose under the tent? Or is this the hole in the dike? And no, not that hole in that kind of dike. And I feel like, you know, if a dike fails, you get too many holes and then the whole thing comes crashing down, like that's a giant wave of water. So that's more. Whereas if you got a camel's nose under the tent, I mean, you know, you may end up with a camel in your tent, but I feel like that's not as bad as almost a tsunami. You know what? So in that fact, I don't think this is not a hole in the dike. This is a camel's nose under the tent. It's not that extreme, but basically, you know, why would people be upset about publishing an article saying that parents of possibly transgender kids are feeling anxiety? Well, that article would be telling the parents who read it, if they're experiencing a similar thing, they may not be alone. In fact, they're not alone. You're not the only parents in America feeling this way, and so you may not be the only ones and just an evil bigot. And there may be some justification. I mean, if someone thinks they're not a bigot, they might think that they could speak. That would be the next thing. But I haven't heard any studies, like actual numbers on this, but people throw around that the New York Times is, I've heard someone say they're 99% gender affirming. You know, when they do coverage, it's 99% gender affirming. And I heard someone else say 95% gender affirming. I'm sure they're very, very woke and very, very affirming of genders. I was thinking about that, like, if you have a boy who wants to be a boy, I do not think you affirm that gender. So, you know, that's kind of a way to, you know, double check if something is a loving ideology, which I'm sure they would like you to think. Who are they leaving out? Are they leaving people out on purpose? Maybe that's because they love one group and they hate the other. So they're, you know, I think hate is stronger than love. So maybe they may be a hateful ideology. But in any case, I think some queer, well, you know, it used to be like LG, lesbian, gay organizations. They've all gone trans, right? Because I guess they won the war for gay stuff. So anyways, now they're looking on to the next war. So the formerly gay and now trans activist movements, I don't know, like Out Magazine or who knows what, they got, I think, 250 New York Times employees to sign a letter saying that the New York Times is constantly publishing stuff that gets trans people killed. I mean, they exaggerate. I don't know. I forget what they said, but they really exaggerated. You know, I guess, you know, if you're 95% gender affirmation, then that 5% means that you are a bigoted murderer of trans kids. And then I think 50 New York Times employees came back with another letter saying the New York Times should publish the news and the truth, you know, regardless of where that leads. And then we got a little bit of physical violence. Someone spit on one of the people who said we should publish the truth. In person, you know, some person in real life found one of the reporters who said we should publish the truth. And they went up and said, you're killing trans kids, and spit on them. But I guess what I'll say is that at the New York Times now, apparently there are two sides to a story. You know, for years there's only been one side to the story. And I, you know, you didn't know. Was there other people who felt differently and just kept their mouth shut, or did they not exist? So we got two sides to this story a little bit. I mean, I'm sure they're going to be doing severe gender affirmation articles to make up for this last one. But anyways, when you got two sides to a story, you may have a camel's nose under the tent. Twitter handle @AntiWokePodcast, and thanks for listening.